Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to this program, Today's Issues, on the American Family Radio Network. Walker Wildman, what's today?
December the 27th.
27th.
Just a couple days away from New Year's.
I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman and Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning. Good to be back with you guys.
And Fred's news director for One News Now and American Family News. And co-hosting with us today is Dr. Ray Pritchard from Dallas. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing?
Doing well. Did you have a good Christmas?
You know, just a beautiful Christmas. It was quite warm here, and still is quite warm here in Texas. And so it was sunshine and short sleeve weather compared with, say, up north where there's a lot of snow on the ground. So, yeah, we had terrific Christmas.
Fred, you went out to Texas, too, didn't you?
Was out to Texas. Left the Fort Hood area last evening around 5:30. It was 82 degrees. Now, I was just talking to one of our I got to contrast this. One of our producers, Devin, his wife comes from North Dakota, and she was talking to somebody up there, a nursing friend. The nurse, this is North Dakota, almost up to the Canadian border, all right? Contrast. She's a nurse. Big snowstorm. She only lives a couple blocks from the hospital where she works. She had to walk in, but then she had to slide down a snowbank into the front door of the hospital.
Oh, no.
The snowbank was that big. So we're talking about 82-degree weather, people wearing flip-flops for Christmas down here. And this poor lady has to slide down a snowbank into the front door of the hospital.
Oh, my goodness.
Hold on. The nurse is coming through.
That's right. She's sliding in.
Open the doors on three. One, two, three. Here she comes. Oh, my word. Now, you had a little bit of a bumpy ride home.
A little bit of that. Last night, if you live in the center part of the country, there was this big front moving
through. Yes, there was.
And brought a lot of rain to the southern end of things. But we flew up from Houston last night, and the pilot warned
us. Houston to Memphis?
Houston to Memphis.
And the front was?
Kind of a diagonal moving right across the continent.
Right.
And he warned us before we left the ground in Houston. He said, I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to be a rough approach into Memphis. And he was right. Mm-hmm. It was rough. It took about 30 minutes to get from altitude down to the airport, and it never stopped. It was bang, bang, rolling around. At one point, I think we dropped a couple of hundred feet. I heard a guy scream behind me.
It's never a good sign.
He thought it was all over. And everybody's just kind of looking around, can hardly wait to get down. But kudos to this pilot. He did a great job last night. He earned his pay.
I got a funny story. What was funny now, but it wasn't funny then. But my dad tells this story about 20 years ago. He was taking the Dallas to Memphis.
Okay.
And sort of, and you're right. A lot of times, especially in the spring, there's the thunderstorms. Anyway, the front moves through Dallas to Memphis, and he said that plane got up there and got in the middle of a thunderstorm. Mm-hmm. And you know, they can normally avoid them now with radar; they just fly around them. But I guess they got right in the middle of one, or one happened that the unforeseen. Anyway, he said it started bouncing that jet around. And lightning the sky was green and just terrifying. And, you know, some lady behind him wanted more alcohol. somebody in front of him was praying out loud. And dad said dad thought it was it. He really thought that, and he was a veteran flyer, and he thought this is it. This is my number's up. You know, and so they were bouncing around there, and just like you were, or worse. And he said that the pilot never said a word, and they said dad said we got on the ground in Memphis, and he got to the gate, and the pilot finally came on, and said, "Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Memphis. I am as happy to be here as you are." that just goes to show you the pilot was worried.
A rough ride.
It was such a rough ride. Mm. Anyway, Folks, thanks for joining us here on today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We hope you had a wonderful Christmas celebration and looking forward to a great new year, 2017, right on the horizon. And, Fred, what's in the news?
Well, it's a bleed over, really, from last Friday, when most of us had probably started our Christmas vacation. There had been stories leading up to last Friday about a vote in the United Nations condemning Israel for its settlements in the West Bank, Samaria and Judea. You may have read those, both those communities in the Bible. They've been around a long time. And the word was, and there was a kind of campaign on to make sure that the United States did what it has normally done for 40 years now. It would veto these anti-Israel resolutions. It's been doing that for 40 years. Well, what we did learn late on Friday was no. The United States decided to abstain from the vote, which basically greases that resolution to go forward, condemning these settlements on the West Bank. Now, here's the news this morning, because this story has been playing out through the weekend, a lot of reaction to it. But Israel says this morning it has ironclad proof. The United States not only abstained from this vote, but they helped draft the resolution itself. Mm. Now, this ups the story even more, that the United States has been helping to craft this resolution over the last couple of weeks. In fact, one report I was listening to this morning, the ambassador from New Zealand, the UN ambassador from New Zealand, was apparently one of the authors, but John Kerry, Secretary of State John Kerry, met with him 2 weeks ago. Now, normally, you know, the Secretary of State meeting with somebody from New Zealand wouldn't mean much to anyone. But they are saying this is all part of it. They got together and they helped draft this resolution condemning Israel, the one democracy in that part of the world, supposedly our friend.
Our friend, but President Obama is not their friend.
And this proves it. I said to someone this morning, part of me, I guess, is glad this happened because we have known Obama has been really hostile to Israel, does not like Prime Minister Netanyahu. And the White House has always poo-pooed any of those accusations. Well, now here's living proof. Mm-hmm. Obama's willing to deal with Iran, a country that sponsors terrorism, makes deals with them, but then in the last few weeks of his presidency, he really shows his color when it comes to Israel.
Right? What do you, Ray? Can you have you want to put this in perspective a little bit more?
Or? Well, I was just thinking about the two things really shocking here that Fred was just talking about. One is that Israel would come out and say they had ironclad proof. You know, the Israelis are not going to, they're not going to make, that's a shocking thing for them to say about the U.S. They would never say it if they weren't 100% certain and had their intelligence people all over it. And even more shocking to me, though I guess maybe we shouldn't be shocked, is the idea that the U.S. not only abstained on this resolution, but actually helped to write it. Obama is going to go down as the first American president in history who could not be counted on as a friend of Israel. And I'm sure in Jerusalem and in Tel Aviv, they're counting the days until he is finally out of office.
Well, there's a reason why 20-25% of the general American public think he's a Muslim.
Hmm. Right.
For President Obama, I'm just saying those are the surveys that are out there. People would say, well, that's nuts. He's not a Muslim. Well, he is a Muslim sympathizer. I'll go so far as to say that. I don't know. He doesn't get on his Islamic prayer mat and turn toward Mecca five times a day than I know. But in his heart, he's a Muslim because that's how he's reacting to Israel just like the Muslim world does every time they condemn mm-hmm. Israel. Mm-hmm. And this breaks with 4 decades of American policy held up by Democrats and Republican presidents.
Well, think about it. Jimmy Carter never did this.
No.
And Bill Clinton never did this, but Barack Obama did. It's a stain on his presidency. I think if you're a friend of Israel, it's a stain for sure.
Well, and he did it as a parting shot.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He it's kind of like I don't have to be shackled anymore by what Americans or Israelis or think of me. I'm just going to do what I really want to do. I wanted to do all along. Wanted to play Governor Mike. Just for those who don't, they're grappling. They're going, yeah, I understand it's anti-Israel, but what exactly are you talking about? I want to play Governor Huckabee in just a minute, but Ray, what we're talking about here is Israel, that a Jewish state, took lands in the late 60s, in the late 60s in a war.
Right.
With Syria and Jordan, and I guess Egypt was in on that. Anyway, they took...
Right. The 67 war.
The 67 war. Israel took a land beyond what the original lines of their country was drawn up in 1948. And so as a Jewish state, Israel created by the United Nations. So during the war, they took over what's called the West Bank of the Jordan.
Right.
And they have since occupied that territory as their own. And they built the settlements on there for Jews who've come from around the world. Well, the condemnation comes from all the Muslim countries and even in some others against Israel. It's almost universal. It's a guarantee. Every time there's a Israeli situation at the UN, the whole Arab world is going to vote, and the Muslim world is going to vote against Israel. The United States has been basically the only friend of Israel over time. And so what you have here, you have these people who condemn Israel want Israel to go back to pre-1967. To withdraw to even tinier part of land that they have now. And Israel says, no, you know, we were provoked, we were attacked, we won this land in war, and to the victor go the spoils. Maybe I'm oversimplifying this.
No, not at all. And we want to remind people, Israel did not start that war.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
They were attacked. And further, the Palestinians who were living on the West Bank were told by Syria, told by Egypt, get out of there because we're coming in to invade. So they vacated that land. And just like, you know, the United States, the French were told to leave Louisiana. Louisiana belongs to us.
Hmm. Right. And so what the United States has done is joined the Muslim world and others in condemning Israel for building land, building homes and settlements on places that they have control now for since 1967.
Exactly.
And President Obama himself has joined in his administration to condemn Israel for this. We're going to play right now. I don't know how much we're going to play of this, but I wanted you to hear this, folks. This is I saw this interview live, and I thought we got to play some of this. This is our friend Governor Mike Huckabee, and he is on Fox News, and this is a reaction to what Obama did in the United Nations against Israel. And here's what Governor Huckabee had to say.
Here now, Governor Mike Huckabee, who has been deeply involved for years with issues involving Israel, frequently visiting Israel and meeting with Israeli government officials at the highest levels. Governor Huckabee, your response to this breaking news today.
Sandra, I am so outraged I can't even hardly contain myself. What Obama did today was basically extend a real nice final farewell and wave to Israel and to Prime Minister Netanyahu. He just bothered to use one finger in the middle of his hand to do it. This is the most amazing position he could have taken. If Donald Trump gets to the first thing he does, I hope, is send some jackhammers over to Turtle Bay neighborhood in Manhattan and jackhammer the whole United Nations off into the East River and float it to wherever it needs to go. But this is an insult, not just to Israel, but this is an insult to every person who loves freedom. And when people use the term settlements, they may think of the Israelis building, you know, a bunch of tents or mobile homes. These settlements are communities and neighborhoods with schools and curbs and gutters and synagogues and shops and permanent structures where people live and raise their families. And Judea and Samaria belong to Israel. Obama is even saying that the Western Wall ought to be part of territory that's given back. This is insane. This is so beyond anything we've seen in 40 years. It's just stunning.
Well, let me tell you the first thing that the president-elect did do, Donald Trump tweeting out after the vote, as to the UN, things will be different after January 20th. What do you expect the president-elect to do? What will his response be, or should it be, Governor Huckabee?
I think he ought to say that we're not going to continue to spend money funding the UN if they're going to be doing stupid and, frankly, idiotic things that are hurtful to any hope of peace. There's no peace ever going to happen from going along with the state-sponsored terrorist of Iran. Here's what we've done, Sandra. For the past few years under this administration, we have been kissing the backside of the Iranians, the largest sponsor of terrorism in the world, and we have been kicking the backside of the only real, true, loyal friend we have in the entire Middle East, the Israelis. Now, somebody explain why that makes any sense, even in a world of insanity like we sometimes see in the diplomatic world. This doesn't make sense. It's a clear indication that President Obama, no matter what he says, clearly is not cordial or even supportive of the free and democratic process of peace that lives in Israel right now.
That is Governor Mike Huckabee. Just can't get where he... I don't understand where he's, you know, what he's really thinking there. He's
That's not, right. Tell us what you really think, Mike.
Yeah. What do you think about what Governor Huckabee was saying there, Ray?
Well, number one, it is a total sellout by President Obama. Total sellout. A final parting shot, a kick in the face of Israel on the way out the door. And I got to say, I love what Governor Huckabee said. He hopes Trump sends over the jackhammers and gets the UN building thrown into the East River. I don't think he's going to do that, but I do believe things are going to be quite different at the UN starting on January the 21st.
I tell you what, President-elect Trump, soon-to-be President Trump, Walker, Fred, and Ray, he's the kind that would say we're not giving any more money to the UN. Now, I don't think he has unilateral control of that. I think the Congress... does, but he's got a Republican Congress, a House and Senate, who, and they're not too keen on the United Nations anyway. They may just decide, you know, it's time to quit paying for it.
Well, he's already said, President-elect Trump has already said that he's going to stop sending, he is in Congress, he's going to stop sending money to the UN for this global warming stuff.
He's already said that?
Yeah, he thinks it's just a waste of money. We send billions of dollars to the UN and nobody knows where it goes. And
good,
so,
good for him. I'm glad he's saying
and so
that.
That proves what to your point. If he sees things that the UN is doing that are pointless and against American values and what he wants to see the U.S. do, then we're not going to send him any more money.
Well, he's the kind of person that would do that. That is very refreshing.
It sure is, and I mean it's one of the things I believe during his campaign. Donald Trump said unapologetically, "I am a friend of Israel." He and Prime Minister Netanyahu are good friends. Prime Minister Netanyahu has said that. Prime Minister Netanyahu has said, I'm looking forward to when the Trump administration comes in. He believes things are going to be different. I am anxious to see if Donald Trump is going to make good on his promise to move our embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. To me, that would be something incredible. Presidents, Republican and Democrat, over the years have promised to do it, but they always come up with an excuse. No, I can't do it. Better not do it right now.
But this,
I hope he does it.
Hey, can you give us a similar situation that maybe the American people could better understand, Ray? I was thinking about I'm just thinking of this analogy on the fly, so maybe it's not going to work. Would it be like the United Nations condemning the United States for our building in Texas, and that we should return that to Mexico, and quit occupying the American Southwest.
That's right, because we mistreated Santa Ana and the boys in the big battles down here in Texas,
right?
And give it back to Mexico. Yeah, it would be a very similar kind of thing.
So it's like the vote being taken at the United Nations to condemn the United States for occupying the American Southwest.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And that's an excellent point to make. And I was listening to an interview this morning. He said, and this person said, and they're a pro-Israel person, obviously. He was saying, you know what? The Jewish people have been living in Judea and Samaria for thousands of years. And we have an administration in the United States. The United States has been in existence for 400 years. And we're telling a nation that has had its people living in this area for thousands of years, you can't have your citizens living there anymore. And they're making the point, what arrogance, what extreme arrogance that is, that we're telling a nation that has had people living in an area for thousands of years, your people don't have a right to live there anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wonder, Ray, could you compare the Obama administration and him personally, President Obama's attitude towards Benjamin Netanyahu in Israel, to his attitude towards Fidel Castro in Cuba?
Well, I don't know what to say about that.
Okay. Everybody's speechless.
Other than Obama went out of his way to be friendly with Castro and has gone out of his way to be dismissive, if not outright rude, to Mr. Netanyahu. But things are about to change. And I was thinking, you know, while listening to Mike Huckabee, we're sending, you know, Mr. Trump's going to send Nikki Haley up there to the United Nations. She's going to be very outspoken. And Fred, I'm with you 100%. I hope that he will actually do what he says and move the embassy to Jerusalem. That will send shockwaves across the Middle East. It will send shockwaves around the world. It'll be a great thing if he would do that.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues, the name of this program. I'm Tim Wildman with Fred Jackson, Walker Wildman, and Dr. Ray Pritchard. Walker, what are we doing on Facebook?
Well, we're running Today's Issues Facebook page. We're running live Facebook Live on Today's Issues Facebook page. And if you want to read the articles, right now I have up Mike Huckabee's video about the UN vote and Obama, and then
they can watch that whole video that we just played part of.
Yes, and they can also read the One News Now article about Israel saying that the White House pushed for this UN vote behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm. That's this breaks with long-standing tradition, four decades of tradition of American administrations, both Republican and Democrats, of standing with Israel and not condemning Israel, and President Obama and his administration have decided to condemn Israel. Now, they abstained from the vote, but abstaining from the vote is the same as standing with the enemies of Israel, because the U.S. could have used its veto vote in the U.N. to block this condemnation of Israel. You know, the obsession with Israel by the United Nations, when we've got dictatorships and totalitarianism and human rights violations all over the world on a continual basis, from China to Africa to Venezuela to Cuba, and no condemnation of these countries for worse things than Israel ever thought about doing, in my view.
And that's the point that Netanyahu made in his last speech to the UN.
Yeah,
he said, you know, how many resolutions condemning countries? All against Israel.
Right, right.
Yeah.
That's why the United Nations has become just a political operation and not a neutral place where human rights are championed and freedom is championed. We equate totalitarianism with freedom. You'll see these countries that have human rights violations left and right, and they're on some kind of human rights watch list for the United Nations. Just bizarre. So, maybe we'll get out of the United Nations soon. I certainly hope so. Start something new if you want to. We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
American Family Association President Tim Wildman.
As we come up on a new year, we don't know what's around the corner as far as news goes, but I tell you one thing, we will be here to cover it and give it a biblical perspective on today's issues on American Family Radio. We'll keep covering and commenting on the news, and we thank you for listening.
And we pray that you will have a blessed and happy 2017.
Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on AFR and online at AFR.net.
You sponsor good, clean, constructive programs, we'll go out of our way to buy your products. We appreciate it. Uh-huh. You sponsor immorality, vulgarity, profanity, we'll make it a point not to buy your products, and we'll tell our friends and our neighbors and ask them to do the same.
Donald Wildman founded the American Family Association. The year was 1977.
Our billfolds have an off and on button, and as Christians, we have an obligation not to purchase products which we knowingly will go to help promote pornography and anti-Christian, anti-family values. You know what you're saying to me? You're saying to me, here's a choice. If you don't like it, turn it off. You're saying the same thing to me.
No.
You're telling me that if I sit down and I don't like sexual infidelity and I don't like profanity and I don't like seeing somebody clobber somebody over the head, then forget it.
Your continued support of the American Family Association keeps us on the front lines of America's culture war.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and commentary next. While Christmas carolers were proclaiming joy to the world, President Obama was backstabbing Israel, refusing to veto a UN resolution condemning Israel's settlements on the West Bank. The Simon Wiesenthal Center named the Obama administration's move as the worst case of anti-Semitism in 2016. And honestly, it's not all that surprising. This president seems more comfortable hanging out with nations who want Israel wiped off the face of the earth, palling around with countries like the Islamic Republic of Iran. But it gets worse. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says there is proof, ironclad proof, President Obama was behind the resolution, a charge the White House denies. But if, in fact, there is ironclad proof, Congress needs to take immediate action against the president, at the very least a public censure. It would be unprecedented, but an unprecedented act of betrayal demands an unprecedented rebuke. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Speaking of Israel, the Holy Land, our tour is in March, March 9th through the 17th. We're going to the Holy Land, as we do each March, and we have 8 seats left. So if you want to go with us, we'd love for you to join us on, for many people, is a once-in-a-lifetime trip.
Amen.
To the land of the Bible. Mm-hmm. And if you'd like to go with us, let me give you the details, or let me just tell you how you can find out the details of the tour. Just go to our website, twholyland.com. TWHolyLand.com. Now, the vast majority of the people that are going with us are themselves listeners to American Family Radio or either supporters of American Family Association. That's who you're going with, and people from around the country will meet in New York, and then we'll be off to see the Holy Land, including Jerusalem and Bethlehem and Jericho and Masada and the Dead Sea and Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, Nazareth, Mount Carmel, the Valley of Armageddon, and so much more. So if that's something you want to do, again, we've got, I think, 8 seats left on this trip. TWHolyLand.com is your website, TWHolyLand.com. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Well, we've had a lot of good news in 2016. If you are a conservative, patriotic, God-fearing American, we've had a lot of good news. If you are a liberal, secular-minded universalist, then it's been a bad year for you, for the most part. And we don't sympathize with you. In fact, we hope you have more bad years.
Come over to our side.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, when truth prevails, yes.
Been a lot of good things happen. A couple things that good things have happened in December that I wanted to highlight. And joining us to do so is our national field director for AFA Action, Rob Chambers. Rob, the last few weeks have been a flurry of activity in North Carolina and in Ohio on some very important moral issues.
Yes.
You want to talk about what's happened here?
Yeah, absolutely. In North Carolina, many of you are familiar with House Bill 2 that that has thrown many people like Bruce Springsteen and other liberals up in arms and opposing common sense legislation that would prevent predators from entering into a woman's restroom, would prevent men who think they're a woman to enter a woman's dressing room or restroom. So that passed this year. Well, what happened recently is that several people wanted to repeal House Bill 2. So there was a special session that was called in North Carolina to repeal House Bill 2. Well, there was much thought that House Bill 2 would actually be repealed, Tim, and so it's interesting that that was not the case.
Right. Right. Our side won.
Yes.
And
strongly,
we played a role in it, AFA and AFR, as did other pro-family groups and Christian groups in North Carolina.
Yeah, we did. Thankfully, in North Carolina, AFA, AFA Action, our combined supporters is over over 70,000 people. And so through AFR's efforts on sending out messages like this into North Carolina, encouraging people to send emails, make phone calls, we had over 20,000 emails total sent into the state capitol there in North Carolina urging them not to repeal House Bill 2. And that's exactly what happened. The Senate voted 32 to 16 not to repeal.
Well, this is really good news that the legislature in North Carolina did not overturn themselves.
Right.
The pressure was brought to bear by Hollywood, by mm-hmm. the Democrats, by the Republican establishment, by the news media, by the entertainment industry. Everybody was against North Carolina. Keep in mind now, folks, you have let's clear the fog here. So, because this is such a distorted issue by the media.
Yes.
They don't ever tell you what it's really about. All the legislature did in North Carolina was vote to say you must use in state-owned facilities, you must use the restrooms and showers and changing facilities that you're biologically, if you're born a male, you go to the men's room.
Right.
If you're born a female, you go to that's all they did. That's all they did. You would have thought they had reinstated slavery the way the media portrayed this. And you got all these people like Bruce Springsteen, saying it's bigotry and all this stuff. No, it was just common sense. We have men's and women's restrooms, guess what, around the world. Everywhere you go around the world, for as long as time has been in existence, we've had indoor plumbing, and even before we did, probably had you have men's and women's restrooms. Why is that? Why is that? Because we all recognize the need for privacy.
Right.
And that men and women want to be separated when it comes to personal issues like that. And all these entertainers and Hollywood types and the politicians and the liberal media, they want to just say, listen, North Carolina, because you believe in the very same thing that's been going on around the world forever, that is separation of men and women, you're a backward state.
Mm-hmm.
Well, again, I don't want to belabor the point too much here, but just to say that common sense was upheld in North Carolina, we can count that as a victory.
Yes.
And the people of North Carolina said no to the PC bullies. Now, in Ohio, more good news.
Yeah, more good news there. Earlier this month in December, we had a heartbeat bill passed in the Ohio Senate and also the following day in the Ohio General Assembly by a strong measure. And so there was much thought that the Governor Kasich would well, there was great hope that Governor Kasich would support this bill. However, earlier this, not maybe about a week ago, Governor Kasich vetoed that bill. But the good indications, we're getting some good reports out of Ohio that looks like they will be, the hopes are that the Ohio General Assembly will come back into, reconvene, go back into and take up an attempt to basically override Governor Kasich's veto.
Now, tell me the difference. Now, Governor Kasich did sign into law a ban on abortion after
20 weeks.
20 weeks.
Correct, right.
Okay. But he did not, which was, I guess, the pro-life community says that's the pain?
Physical, pain culpable.
Pain culpable. Act. So mm-hmm. what, I guess, to be fair, to his credit, Governor Kasich did sign into law and to the credit of the legislature and the Senate in Ohio, they passed this law of protecting unborn babies at least after 20 weeks, which is the physical pain period. You could argue they feel physical pain,
right.
the unborn baby. Now, but what the law that he vetoed, which we're talking about here, could be overridden by the legislature in Ohio, which would be a good thing,
right,
is a heartbeat bill.
Yes,
which
6 weeks.
Janet Porter and others have worked on there in the state of Ohio, which is 6 weeks, which what they're saying is that once you can detect a heartbeat of an unborn baby, pardon me, it should be protected by state law. And in other words, once you can see a beep, 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 you can't kill it. You can't kill it. And so this is the law that he vetoed, that is Governor Kasich. Why would he veto something like that?
Well, it doesn't really make sense, Tim and listeners.
But you say you're pro-life and then you veto that. Why would you veto that?
Well, it's the same argument that many pro-abortion people have used to try to kill legislation like the Pain Culpable Act. Which is, it's going to be challenged by the courts. It's going to cost the state
money. Let it be
money.
Challenged, but don't stand in the way of doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm. So,
what's the real reason, though, Governor Kasich vetoed that? Is that the real reason?
That's the real argument he's giving. So that's the public reason. That's what he, in his letter of explanation of the veto, it was a money issue. So,
Walker, you just found out you and your wife found out you were having a baby.
Yeah.
When did you go see the heart beating?
We went in at between the 9 and 10 week period, and we saw the heartbeat. But the doctor said the heartbeat had been there for weeks before.
Okay.
So what you do is, and what this bill, if overridden, if the veto is overridden, will do is, when my wife and I went into the doctor, you can see the heartbeat. On the monitor, on the screen, a live video feed of the heartbeat.
How many weeks?
Well, this was at 9 weeks, but most all scientists agree that at 5 and 6 weeks, there's a heartbeat.
Okay.
Somewhere in between that period, it varies per child. But that'll prevent children whose heart's beating in the mother's womb at 5 and 6 weeks, 7 weeks from being aborted. Which would virtually save thousands of lives in Ohio.
In Ohio, about 20,000.
Yeah, so, I just don't know how anybody who's any human being could be against this. Well, I know how they could. I understand what's going on here. But, I mean, this is a very reasonable argument to make.
It is very reasonable. But to go to what Rob is saying, the Kasich using the – there's a greater potential for the heartbeat bill to be overturned by the courts than there is the 20-week. Mm-hmm. Here's what's always fascinated me, and I'm very optimistic about the 20-week, because you now have court systems. Let's say a pregnant woman, she's in a car accident, she's hit by a drunk driver. Mm. Both the mom and the baby die. The drunk driver is now facing two murder charges. Mm-hmm. That's been going on in our courts. Vehicular homicide. Mm-hmm. But wait a minute. You argue on one hand out there that it's not a human being until it comes out of the mother's
womb.
That's
Hillary Clinton's argument.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you're charging the drunk driver with two counts of murder. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Why do you do that? Because they recognize it's a human being
That's right.
in that womb. So that's why this 20-week and pain culpable is very important in this ingredient, because they have proven, scientists have proven, surgeons, there's now surgery being done on babies inside the womb. And you know, these pictures that are being shown now, I go back to that Life magazine article. Remember back 15, 20 years ago? It was the baby hand. Grabbing the hand, the
it
finger
wasn't that long
of the
ago.
Surgeon.
Yeah. Yeah. It was at Vanderbilt University. It's an iconic picture.
Yes.
It's the surgery being done on a baby.
Inside the womb.
Inside the womb, and the hand of the baby is collapsing the doctor's finger.
Exactly.
And it's a very telling picture. But the good thing about it is there's a real chance that the legislature in Ohio could override Governor Kasich's veto on the heartbeat bill, and that we could see a victory there. I really believe, guys, that Ray, let's get your thoughts on this. We are. It's not unreasonable to think that Roe versus Wade now, in the next 5 years, could be overturned. And here's why: we have the advancement of medical science, which is even the author of Roe versus Wade, Blackburn, was that his name, Justice Blackburn, Blackmun?
Blackmun.
Huh? What was his name? Y'all know who I'm talking. Brennan. Yeah. Anyway, my mind's going blank here.
I thought it was Blackmun.
Blackmun. Anyway, in his in the majority opinion,
Blackmun.
Blackmun.
M U N.
Okay, what was his first name? Do you remember Harry?
President.
Harry. It was Supreme Court Justice from the 1973 decision on Roe versus Wade.
Yeah.
He authored
Harry Blackmun.
Okay, Harry Blackmun. He authored the majority opinion, and I believe I remember that in that he said, you know, medical science may yet prove one day that this decision needs to be reversed or changed. Well, we're at that place now because with the 3D ultrasound, you can now see that. Well, you can see you can hear the heart beating, you can see the baby forming. So it's indisputable any longer that this is a live human being that is being killed in the womb. That's what abortion is. It's not pro-choice, pro-life. It's we know now what goes on here. So I say that to say that medical science could enter into a decision by a future Supreme Court if, in fact, President-elect Donald Trump gets into office. And, well, he's going to get into office, but, I mean, his Supreme Court justices are what he said would be pro-life.
That's right.
That's what he ran on.
Right.
If he gets two in there, there's a good chance that should a pro-life law like come before them in the next 2 to 5 years, again, that they could reverse the Roe versus Wade decision, which would turn abortion law back to the states to how it was prior to Roe versus Wade in 1973. It wouldn't mean that abortion is outlawed in the U.S. Mm-hmm. It would mean that states, like they were prior to 1973, are able to regulate abortion themselves without interference from the federal government or from the Supreme Court. So that could happen. It's interesting how things turn so quickly, because Ray, we would have been thinking never. Probably in our lifetime could Roe versus Wade ever be overturned, and yet here we are with a possibility. Again, should Donald Trump get a couple of pro-life appointments to the Supreme Court, that could happen.
Well, right now he's going to fill Scalia's position, and I think we're going to get a good, strong pro-life conservative. But all that does is bring us back to what it was before.
Right.
Now, then you've got Ruth Bader Ginsburg, whose health is not
83 years old, I think.
Right. And you've got Breyer, who's up there, and you've got Anthony Kennedy, who's up there. Almost certainly President Trump is going to get at least one more appointment. If we get two more constitutional conservatives on there, then the scenario that you described could, in fact, play out. We would have said 2 or 3 years ago, in our lifetime, we will never see Roe v. Wade overturned. But I think at least we can see the possibility of that happening.
Right. You know, the opponents of this heartbeat bill, I believe that they know that if this heartbeat bill were to be challenged and maybe it would be struck down in a federal court, but then it makes its way somehow to the Supreme Court. I believe they're fearful that it would be upheld and then in return strike down portions of Roe v. Wade, and that's what I read in one of the legislative leaders who helped to get this thing passed, maybe the Senate leader in the state. He said in past years he hasn't supported this bill because this is flawed reasoning.
The heartbeat bill, you mean?
Yeah, he hasn't supported the heartbeat bill, the Republican, because he knew it would be struck down by the courts. But then he said this year that he is going to support the heartbeat bill because he sees that it could potentially be upheld in the Supreme Court now that President-elect Trump has been elected.
You would need to get a couple more, as Ray's talking about, Supreme Court justices. But Ruth Bader Ginsburg, a very liberal member of the court, she's 83. I think Justice Kennedy, who is a Republican appointee by President Reagan, but has turned out to be liberal on most social issues, he is, I want to say 79 or 80. Stephen Breyer, who's also very liberal, he's right there at 80. I mean, there's probably going to be two, three, or maybe even more appointees in the next four years.
This bill is actually the exact opposite of Roe v. Wade. And so the bill you're talking about, a bill that would be challenged,
right?
A law that would be challenged that would eventually overturn Roe v. Wade. Well, this heartbeat bill they're saying has the framework that if it's upheld in the Supreme Court, it makes Roe v. Wade very, very weak.
That's right. Well, and the thing that strikes me, Walker, about this is a common sense bill. Every single couple that's expecting a baby, right? They do what you guys did. Yeah. They go to the doctor and they, you know, that the sonogram is done and they listen to the heartbeat, right? Mm-hmm. This is, you know, when you start talking about 20 weeks and so on, people get, they don't understand the trimester thing that the Supreme Court made up, but everybody understands a heartbeat means life. So Walker, I think you're exactly right that the folks on the other side never want this bill to become law, because even people who are not Christians at all, they'll go, that's right, there's a heartbeat. You shouldn't kill a beating heart.
Exactly.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We're at AFR.net on the internet, AFR.net. We're live streaming there, and you can listen to archived programs that we do on American Family Radio. We're also live on Facebook with Today's Issues. Rob, for those who live in Ohio, asking them especially to pay attention right now, you have recommended action on this heartbeat bill override of Governor Kasich's veto, right?
Yes, we are urging Ohio citizens there to contact House Speaker Cliff Rosenberger. He is the one that can call back into assembly, the General Assembly there in Ohio, and urge him to work toward overriding Governor Kasich's veto. And that number is 614-466-3506. Again, that's 614-466-3506. And the message is simple. Urge him to work to override Governor Kasich's veto. It's as simple as that. There were a handful of Republicans that voted against this bill initially when it passed. However, I understand that several of those have changed their mind and are now supporting the bill, which would basically override Governor Kasich's veto.
Fred, this also, what this does here is this makes the pro-choice side or pro-abortion side, they call themselves pro-choice, this makes them very uncomfortable.
Sure does.
Because it's better to, if you're going to be pro-choice and you're going to be steadfast with that position, it's better to talk about this issue without having to get into something like a heartbeat, for example. Mm-hmm. You'd rather keep this issue framed as, you know, keep your laws off my body. A woman, what a woman does with her own body should be her own choice. Mm-hmm. These kinds of, you know, it's like a pro-choice, like you Americans should have a right to choose Chevy or Ford or strawberry or vanilla. You sort of keep this thing in that realm of the abstract. Mm-hmm. The pro-abortion, pro-choice side does not, Fred, want to talk about when the baby's heart starts beating, because that began, because that fair-minded Americans, whether they've considered themselves pro-choice or not, start to think, what do you mean, heartbeat? You're telling me the heartbeat starts at 6 weeks, so this is a human being, and I've been pro-choice, and maybe I shouldn't be, because this is morally wrong to dismember a, you know what I'm saying? They don't want to talk about this.
Oh, absolutely, and that's why they have been policing the language that is used in this issue. They don't want a journalist referring to the unborn as a baby. Mm-hmm. No, it's a fetus. It's a baby.
The woman with two beating hearts.
Yes. So this is why they want to frame it that way. They want to frame it, as you were saying, referencing the freedom, the personal freedom of the woman to choose, which is why they choose to use that pro-choice term. No, they want to stay away from the fact. They want to avoid you thinking of it as a human being.
Right.
Because once you admit it's not a dog, it's not a cat.
Right.
It's a human
being. It's not a blob of tissue.
It's not a blob of tissue. It's a human being. And you referenced a while ago the science. You can observe the development of this human being. Mm-hmm. The cells start to divide right away, right at conception. Mm-hmm. Those cells start to divide, and they start to determine the parts of the body. This all happens very, very quickly, long before the 6 weeks of the heart is beating. Mm-hmm. I took developmental biology when I was in university, and it's absolutely amazing what starts to happen right away. It starts to develop into that human being that we eventually see. And don't let them trick you into saying, well, it doesn't look like a human being yet. Really? Mm-hmm. You know, it is a human being. It is going to be a human being. You allow it to be born, you're going to see an adult. Mm-hmm. They don't want you imaging that in your mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's a new day, folks, for the pro-life movement. It's a breath of fresh air with President-elect Donald Trump winning and being openly pro-life. He didn't even try to hide it. He's openly pro-life, and he's openly in favor of overturning Roe versus Wade. And we hopefully will have a celebration here in a few months when Planned Parenthood is completely defunded by the federal government to the tune of how much, Rob?
$500 million.
$500 million that taxpayer money goes to Planned Parenthood, who's the largest abortion provider in America. And Planned Parenthood is worried, as they should be, that federal government spigot's about to be cut off. I think that represents a third of their income, if I'm not mistaken, mm-hmm. something to that effect. So that could all be coming to a crashing end. And that you talk about a battle royale, and you talk about a poked pig screaming, or squealing, I should say. I don't think a pig screams, it squeals. You wait till this vote comes up in the United States Congress, where the Republicans now have control of the House and the Senate and a pro-life president. Mm-hmm. The days of Planned Parenthood getting money from the federal government are numbered, but they're going to fight with everything they have on this one, because it's the devil's fight, and I really mean that. This is a matter of light and darkness, God versus Satan, that Satan wants to continue to murder unborn babies in the womb, and Planned Parenthood uses federal tax dollars to keep their doors open. Mm-hmm. Well, that's about to stop, I think, and they're going to really fight when this, you know.
They are.
We'll see what happens, but hopefully, I think President Trump will stay true to his word, and mm-hmm. hopefully the leaders in the House and the Senate on the Republican side will stay true to what they've said in the past too, that once they ever got a pro-life president, they would defund mm-hmm. Planned Parenthood. We're going to take a break for news, and we'll be back in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.